Morning. Are you all right? Matthew chapter 6. Verse 33, a very familiar verse to you. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 7. As you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 18, verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. Hallelujah. Just those few verses talking about the kingdom of God, because that's what we are been speaking about, and trust that it'll be a blessing to you. Jesus reduced the pursuit of the human heart to two things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Nothing else. We pursue a whole heap of things. But Jesus said, if you're going to pursue anything, pursue the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the thing that you pursue will be added. Jesus also said, when you go, preach this message. What is the message? The message of the kingdom. And many times we preach just about everything but the kingdom. Jesus said, when you go, preach this message. The parables in the Bible are the parables of the kingdom. The gospel is the gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel of the church. There are no miracles of the church. They are miracles of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Our problem, as we shared before, is if you're going to seek the kingdom, what exactly are you looking for? Because many of us have no concept of a kingdom, because we don't live in one. We live in a democracy. The Bible does not say, seek ye first the democracy of God. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And if you have a democratic mindset and you're looking for the kingdom, your mindset and the kingdom will be totally at odds. In fact, it'll offend you. Because in a democratic mindset, everybody has a right. And you have a right, I have a right, and everybody else has a right. In the kingdom, you don't have any rights. So therefore, when you're trying to grapple with seeking the kingdom first, you have to change the way you think. Hallelujah. The Bible says we are transformed by the renewing of our minds, not the removal of our minds. Many Christians don't think. If you have a brain, educate the thing. Think. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Therefore, the way you think is very important. As you think, that's who you are. And if you don't know the kingdom and you still think like what you used to think, that's who you are. Therefore, your pursuit is a pursuit of nothing, because you have no concept of what you're looking for. Now, the strange thing is, everybody actually is actually looking for the kingdom. But they don't know what they're looking for. They stumble on the kingdom and they realize that they found something. And my job is to try and help your brain so you can grapple a concept of what you're actually looking for. And to do that, if I can change how you think, it'll be really, really great. Hallelujah. Are you all right? Say amen. we worship as Christians. And you can only worship in a kingdom. You can't worship in a democracy. You can't worship in a republic. You can only worship in a kingdom. Yet, worship is probably the oldest human endeavor. Even though you may live in a democracy, you actually do worship. Even the people that don't believe in God do worship. The humanists believe that man is the center of the universe and he worships. He worships himself. Some people worship their wives. There was a man in India who worshiped his wife and built that, what do you call the thing? Why? Because he worshiped his wife. People worship their girlfriends and some people worship their children. Why did Abraham have to offer his son? Because Abraham actually worshiped that boy. His whole life pursuit was for that boy. His future was in that boy. His present was in that boy. And God said, kill the boy. Hallelujah. So in a kingdom, you worship. You can't worship as a democratic person, even though people as human beings actually do worship. Whether they are saved, believe in God, or don't believe in God. Before Christianity came to Samoa, Samoans were worshiping. They were not worshiping the God of Israel. They were worshiping their own gods. So there's a concept that worship is the oldest human endeavor, but you can only worship in a kingdom. You can't worship in a democracy. Are you all right? We said that kingdoms colonize. And for a kingdom to expand, it has to have more colonies. And the more colonies you have, the more greater the kingdom becomes. When I was young and studying history and geography and things like that, the map of the world was very red. Nigeria was red, Kenya was red, Canada was red, Australia was red, New Zealand was red, and everywhere England went was red. Why? They were colonized by England. Why is that? Because England was a kingdom. Are you all right? Say amen. The colonies are so colonized, and what the king does and the kingdom does, the kingdom will impose on the colony the kingdom's culture. Until the colony actually totally reflects the kingdom. And many of those countries, people have never been to England, but if you go to those countries, you think you're in England. Their culture is English. Their food is English. But England was not the only country that was a kingdom that colonized. Spain was a kingdom. Spain had a king. And Spain colonized. Most of South America is colonized by Spain. And the Spanish, like every other kingdom, impose on the new colonies their culture, their food, their language, until if you go to South America, you eat Spanish food and you hear Spanish spoken. In fact, most of those Indians in South America don't know their own dialect because every single one of them speaks Spanish. Why? Because the kingdom imposes its culture, its language, its values on the colony. Are you all right? Say amen. Now, that's what a kingdom does. But where does a kingdom get its culture from? The kingdom gets its culture from the king. The king's values become the kingdom's values. The king's nature becomes the nature of the kingdom. The king's morality becomes the morality of the kingdom. And in the kingdom of God, the nature of God is the nature of the kingdom. the values of God become the values of the kingdom. The moralities of God become the morality of the citizens of the kingdom. That's why it's very difficult, in fact impossible, for you to say, I'm a Christian, I love Jesus, I just have a sexual orientation towards the same sex. You can't do that. Why? That's not the morality of the king. I don't care what you say. You may legislate for it. You may make laws for it. It's against the morality of the king of the kingdom. And I don't care what we do. Because our morality is the morality of the king. Now, in a democratic country, we legislate that. Let me say this. In a kingdom, what the king does is the legislation. What the king says is national policy. You don't discuss what the king says. You just obey. Are you all right? So when you go look for this kingdom that Jesus talked about, seek ye first the kingdom. And when he said, when you pray, pray this, let your will be done, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So you have a concept of knowing what the nature and the culture of the kingdom is by understanding the nature and the culture of the king. And the king will impose his will on the subjects of his kingdom. You don't actually discuss what the king says. And what does he say? He says, king gives commands. He doesn't give suggestions. Are you okay? When he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that how do you love one another? The same way the king loves you. The standard of love is not your standard. It's not the standard of the world, it's the standard of the king. And how you love somebody else is the same way the king loves you. And he doesn't suggest that to us. He commands that we do that. He didn't say, well, people love people that love them back. That's fine. But if you're going to be perfect as your father is perfect, you have to learn to love your enemies. What's the standard? His standard. Are you all right? Say amen. Those are some things that will help you and I to try and grapple with what and where we are heading as a church. Say amen. It is dangerous to read the Bible with a democratic brain. Why? Because you superimpose your own thinking and your own will on the Bible. The Bible is not a democratic book. You're not going to rewrite the Bible. Nobody is going to rewrite the Bible. Why? It's not a democratic book. You don't edit the values of the Bible. You just obey them. Why? The Bible is a kingdom book. Say amen. Are you all right? If we do that, if we change that and impose our values on the Bible, we come up with something that is not even in the Bible. Are you all right? Say amen. Jesus Christ, when he wants something done, does not consult you. Have you ever noticed that? If he wants something done, he will tell you, this is what we're going to do, but he doesn't consult you. He doesn't ask you for your opinion. In fact, when he looked at Adam and he decided Adam's going to have a wife, he never asked Adam. He didn't say, what do you think? Let's talk about this. Do you want a wife? He just looked at Adam and said, Adam needs a wife. So he prepared the wife and told Adam, this is your wife, period. Why? Because he's the king. Say amen. Is this all right? Good. The word kingdom comes from two words. Comes from the word king and comes from the word dom. Kingdom. That's very, very deep, isn't it? Very deep. Very deep for a Samoan. Now, the word king is a person. The ruler. The word dom comes from the word domain. The ruler of a domain. And when the king is in his domain, he is the ruler of the kingdom. The kingdom, king domain, king in his domain. And the king rules the domain and owns the domain. Say amen. You like that? Kingdom. King domain. King in his domain. King ruling over his domain. Seek ye first the kingdom. The king domain. King in his domain. The king and his righteousness and all the other things shall be added unto you. Are you okay? Hallelujah. Now, we worship God, and as we said, kingdom are the only forms of government that worship. Republicans don't worship. Democrats don't worship. Only kingdoms worship. Who do they worship? They actually worship the king. Some years back, a friend of ours wrote a song that was sung all over the world. He went to England and understand that the Americans came from England. And when he went to England and had a look at its history and things like that, he realized that America has no concept of a king. They don't know what it is to address somebody as your majesty. So when he went back to America, he wrote a song that we've sung all over the world. Majesty, worship his majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, power and praise. Majesty, worship his majesty. Flow from his throne unto his own. His anthem reigns. And when he wrote that, he realized that the people in the U.S. are going to sing that song, and it will give them a little bit of an understanding what a kingdom is and what it is to serve a king and to worship a king. Now, in a kingdom, people worship the king. And when the king's chariot comes, people will prostrate themselves on the road as the king goes by. When Jesus came to Jerusalem, riding on a donkey, people threw palms, clothes, the best on the road. And hail, hallelujah, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David. Who's David? The king. Hallelujah. So they worship. And in a kingdom, you worship the king. It's part of the culture of a kingdom that the king is worshipped. Why? Hallelujah. The reason the king is worshipped is because the king actually owns the domain. Hello? Now, you have a very cultural and very democratic mind, so it's very difficult for you to grapple with this. The king owns the domain. He owns the country. A lot of people have problems when they say, well, you can't eat the shellfish because it's owned by the Maori. Said, nobody owns the shellfish. Well, we have a problem with that because in the kingdom, guess who owns the fish? I'm asking a question. Who owns the fish? The king. The king owns the fish. The king owns the cattle. The king owns the hills. The king owns the grass on the hills where the cattle feed. The king owns the grass and owns the soil. The king owns everything in a king. He owns the domain. And you can't just go out and kill a deer and eat it. Why? The deer belong to the king. Now, I'm talking now English. All right? That's what Robin Hood did. Kill the deers. Who did the deers belong to? The king. Now, where did the deers feed? In the forest of the king. Who owns the timber? The king. See, that's a concept that your European educated head can't grapple with. The king owns the dirt that you live on. The king owns your breath. The king owns you. You say, well, nobody owns me. Well, bless your darling heart and stupid head. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those that dwell therein. Everything belongs to the king. You don't own nothing. You say, well, I own that farm. Well, bless your darling heart. Come back in 100 years and let's talk about it. And see if you still own the farm. I own that house. Well, come back in 15 years. Let's talk about it if you own the house. Everything you see is temporary. Bless your darling heart. Huh? We look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. Because the things that you see are temporary. The things that you can't see are eternal. Everything you think you own is temporary. It's only there for a few moments. Hallelujah. Say amen. So you worship the king because he owns where you live. You are dressed with his wool that come from his sheep, that eat from his grass, that grew on his mountain. You don't own anything. And the moment you realize that, guess what? You're going to worship him. Why? Because you're here because of his will. You're here because of his love. You're here because of his grace. He had no rights to be here. You're here by mercy and mercy alone. He'll be here tomorrow, but it's not because you have a right to be here tomorrow. It's because of his mercy. His mercies are from everlasting to everlasting, and his mercies are over all his works. But the reason you're here is not because you have a right to be here. You're only here because of the king. Hallelujah. Now, anyone in a kingdom understand this? Now, it'd be very hard for you because your brain is like a brick wall that's already set. But this will only a kingdom person understand this. Every time you eat and drink, guess what? You toast the king. To the king. Why do you say that? Because everything belongs to the king. So when you go to even though many of you have never seen the king, when I was growing up, the first toast in any feasting, whatever happens, to the king. Give me a break. What is the king? Because everything is owned by the king. And when you eat, to the king. You don't necessarily have to pray and bless your food, but But you have to acknowledge the source of the food. In everything, give thanks, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and I. So you acknowledge the King in what you eat. You acknowledge the King in what you drink. You acknowledge the King in the air that you breathe. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Why? Who owns the breath? The Lord, the King. Are you all right? Is this okay? Now, if you read Psalm 148, I mean, it doesn't even make sense unless you understand the King. Let me find Psalm 140. Read a few verses to you. This is a psalm of St. Francis of Assisi, they tell me, except that it was written by the psalmist, okay? This is a psalm that he liked, St. Francis of Assisi, because he just liked nature and that kind of thing, you know. And let me read it. He says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise the Lord in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all the hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. How can a sun and moon praise God? Praise Him, all you stars of light. Praise Him, you heaven of heavens, you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass. He made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all the depths, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds fulfilling His word. I mean, even the wind. Praise God. Let everything, the fish praise God. The trees praise God. For the oxygen and the CO2 and everything else. Praise God. What about you? Whose image are you made in? Hallelujah. Just the snow praise. Have you ever seen the snow praise God? Hallelujah. What's that song? Let it go. Let it go. Frost. Frozen. Well, how does the song go? Let it go. Let it go. Hello? My granddaughter, we were in Los Angeles. We just come out of Disneyland. And I was in the front, the driver. And out of nowhere, let it go. Let it go. Whoa. Just about crashed the car. So where did that come from? The snow praises God. The frost praises God. When you get a frost in the morning, the Bible says the frost actually praises God. When Jesus came into Jerusalem, he said, if you shut them up, the rocks will cry out. Because creation praises their creator. Why? Because He is the owner of everything. Which means that you own nothing. A guy said one day, look at Babylon. Didn't I create Babylon with all my glory and might? And God said, yeah, you did. Huh? Hallelujah. And God said to Moses, go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. If he doesn't, I will tell him who is Lord. This is Pharaoh's turf. And here comes this king and told his servant Moses, go tell the king of Egypt and tell him to let my people go. Otherwise, I will show him who actually owns Egypt. Pharaoh thought he owned Egypt. He didn't own nothing. God owns the grasshoppers. And he said to the grasshoppers, get in there and just eat the Egyptian crops. Leave the Israelian crops alone. Why? Because God owns the grasshopper. He owns the crops. He owns Egypt. That's why we worship Him. Why? He is the King in His domain. And we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. And we worship Him because He is our Creator. We acknowledge that we are here by His grace. And when we come to worship Him, we come into His gates with thanksgiving. And the moment you are thankful, there are doors that God will open to you just because of a heart of gratitude. And when you're grateful, it's amazing. He took 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now this is the power of the kingdom. This is the power of the King. He said, I can't feed my family. Well, just give him 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Whatever. Give him your lunch. This is one boy's lunch. And the King of the kingdom picked up the boy's lunch. He looked up. And what did he do? He gave thanks. And the moment he gave thanks, 5,000 Maori men ate lunch. $15,000 Park Hill ladies ate lunch. And 24,000 Samoan kids ate lunch. Why? Because everywhere there's men, there's women. And there are always more women than men. And everywhere there's women, there's children. So it's not just 5,000 men. That's just the one that they could count. 5,000 men. But he fed them when he took 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And look up. And gave thanks. Everything in the kingdom increases. You give the King of the kingdom something, guess what he does with it? He'll press it down, he'll shake it over, and it'll run over. Hello? Press down, shaking together, and running over. That's the power of the kingdom. Why? Because if the King owns everything and he owns you, then he is responsible for you. There are some words that are still left over in our democratic country that left over from kingdom understanding, like the word Lord, the word landlord. What is a landlord? It's the owner. And when you are in righteousness with the owner, when you are in right standing with the owner, who is responsible for where you live? The owner. The owner is responsible for looking after you. A lot of people have trouble with tithing. Why do you tithe? Because he's the owner. That's your rent for living in his planet. If you tithe to John Key, why? If you're taxed by John Key, why don't you tithe to Jesus Christ, whose image is on the coin? Caesar's. Give to Caesar what Caesar, whose image is on your face. Then give to Jesus what belongs to Jesus. Why? Because you're a subject of the King. You don't own anything. The King gives you 100, you give the King 10, and the King actually leaves 90 behind for you. If you're here today, you've never been part of the kingdom. What on earth are you doing outside the kingdom? How do you become part of this kingdom? You don't just walk into the kingdom. Just because you walk into the church does not mean you're in the kingdom. There are many people who are in the church that are not in the kingdom of light. They are in the kingdom of darkness. You come to church. You long for the bread of the children of the King. But you don't belong to the King. You don't belong to the kingdom. You actually belong to another king. But when you're born again into the kingdom, you're translated out of the kingdom you're in and translated into the kingdom of God. But you can't just walk into the kingdom. You are born into the kingdom. Unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you will never enter the kingdom of God. So here comes a man who knows the scriptures and knows the law. And he said to Jesus in the middle of the night, I know you're from God because nobody can do what you're doing. How can I know? Jesus said, unless you are born again, you will never see, let alone enter the kingdom. Why? If you want to belong to the kingdom, you have to be born again. How do you get born again? You know what Paul said in Romans 10? If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Now, what does Lord mean? Owner. 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 Study the word Lord in the Bible. It's the most common word in the Bible. And it means owner. The moment you say, Jesus, you are my owner. You are my Savior. You're my King. Jesus said, you are translated out of one kingdom into another. You become born again. And the King of Kings becomes your landlord and will watch over you. And unless He is Lord and building your house, all your labor is in vain. If you're trying to guard whatever you built without Him, all your waking up is in vain. If you try to eat without Him, all your eating is bread of sorrows. If you're trying to sleep without Him, hallelujah. You may be sleeping in Marriott 5-star hotel and you can't even sleep. Why? Because He's the King. That's why Nebuchadnezzar could not sleep in his nice chamber. And Daniel slept in another chamber. Huh? Why? The big difference between the king being in the lion's den and no king in the palace of the king. He's the owner. He's the landlord. We worship Him. We acknowledge Him because He is the King in His domain. And we are in His domain. We are the people of His pasture. And if we could understand that and give our lives to the King, He'll watch over us not only in time, but in all eternity. Some of you are here today. You've never allowed the King into your life. You never live in the kingdom. You're still trying to make your own ends meet. You're pursuing things that you think will help you. Why don't you pursue the two things Jesus, the King of Kings, said? Just pursue the kingdom and the righteousness of the King. And all the other things will be added unto you. Bow your heads. Father, we thank You today. We honor You and give You the glory and give You the praise. Thank You for the opportunity to hear Your word. Thank You for the opportunity to get to know You, our King, our Savior, a little bit more. Father, I pray for those who are here today who've never made a decision to come into the kingdom. They've never confessed Your Lordship over their lives. They don't know what it is to be born again. I pray that You will touch their lives. You will minister to them, and You will make a difference in their lives today. They'll be bold enough, Lord God, to stand up and say, I belong to the King. I pray, dear God, that Your hand will be upon them, that Your blessing that makes rich and adds no sorrow will become their portion today. If you're here today and you're that person, you never made Christ the Lord of your life. Maybe you have, but you walked away from the King. You want to come back into the kingdom of God. Can you raise your hand? Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. The King sees those hands. You can put it down again. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Can I have those ministering the emblems to come? We'll have communion. In every kingdom, the citizens die for their king. In this kingdom, the king died for his own. His own were lost, gone away from his will, and captured by a foreign enemy. Somebody had to pay the price to release them from his grasp. Nobody could do that, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you're a prisoner, you can't die for another prisoner. You're both prisoners. So the king paid the price. What a glorious king. We worship him because he owns everything. And when he died to give his life for you. You're purchased with a price. And it's not silver and gold. It could be silver and gold. You know why? Because he actually owns the silver and he owns the gold. But that's not the price that he paid. He paid with his life. Died on the cross of Calvary and rose again. That you and I might live. Hallelujah. Amen. Those who put their hands up as we partake. You don't need anybody to come lay hands on you. You just need to confess. Jesus Christ, you're my Lord. You're my owner, you're my Savior, you're my King. I'll live for you the rest of my life. I know if I do, you will look after me. Becomes your healer. Becomes your employer. He's your physician. He's your banker. He's your king. Hallelujah. Let him be king today. Hallelujah.